Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for your time and joining us today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of 1 John. We've actually just got started. I think we've done, three or four? So we're in the first chapter of 1 John. Let's go back and refresh our memory of what these first four, five, or six verses say that we've had. So here's verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 John. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. So we see from the very beginning right here, and that's just first three verses, that John is speaking of the word of life, right? That he's speaking of the one who came and that had fellowship and has fellowship. And when you look at the balance of it, you find out he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, okay, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to them very paternally, and he's speaking to them to let them know who they are in the Lord. Now, verse 4, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. In other words, it's not saying, hey, we're doing this to where, like, my joy is lacking right now, and I need you to do this to have, to where I can have my joy. No, no, no. He's saying, I have the joy of knowing who you are in the Lord. I have the joy of knowing what God's done in my life and in your life. Now, let's press on. Let's make it complete. Let's move this thing forward to fruition in whatever God does in each one of our lives. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And so John was the apostle who did this kind of thing. He did it in his gospel, does it in his letters. This somewhat nearly ethereal kind of feeling thing of God as light and the juxtaposition between light and darkness. So he's proclaiming that God is light. And because of that, there is absolutely no darkness in Him at all. Now, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we're going to see throughout this first letter right here, this idea of practice, this idea of what is your pattern and behavior of life. What is your pattern and practice of life? Not what is the thing that you do every now and then, or the thing that you just determined you were going to do, which turns out to be a sin. No, what is your pattern and practice of life? He said, if we walk in darkness, then we lie, and we're not practicing the truth, which is a good definition of a lie. What's a lie? Not practicing the truth. So if he says this, if we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we're walking with the Lord, if we say we have fellowship with God, and yet we lie, then we're not practicing the truth. He continues on, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, you know, this little letter right here brings together a lot of stuff that we see in the New Testament. Notice what he's saying, that all-powerful word, but. He says, if you say that you walk with Him, you're in fellowship with Him, yet you're walking in darkness, then you lie. But if you walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then something else occurs. You have fellowship. And that walking in the light is what John had already written down in the 15th chapter, what we call the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, of abiding in the Lord, of walking in him. He said, if you're abiding in him and walking in him, then you have fellowship, watch, with one another, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. One of the strong evidences that you truly are a believer is the holy, righteous fellowship that you have with other portions of the body of Christ. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What cleanses us from sin? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the time that I'm making this recording, we're studying locally and online the book of Hebrews in the 19th chapter right through there. And it's just amazing how much the blood of Jesus is mentioned and what is meant by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blood that cleanses us from all sin, not just some sin, but cleanses us from all sin. Well, he builds on this a little bit. So hang in these next couple of verses. Watch this. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So you say, well, I don't know anybody like that. There are people like that that will sit there and say, no, I don't have any sin. I haven't done anything to offend this person, that person. No, I don't have any sin. You're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. Now, he's going to say several things about sin in these next few verses. And some of them might even look like they conflict, but they don't. Because we'll see as we go along, okay? He says, just don't deceive yourself. If you say you have no sin, then you're deceiving yourselves and the truth's not in you. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're likely very familiar with that verse. But now you see more about what the context is. So if somebody comes along and declares, well, I have no sin. I'm totally righteous now, so I will never sin again. Well, that's an error, and they're deceiving themselves, and the truth's not in you. But then there's also a problem when the pendulum swings too far the other way. I got some very dear friends, just sort of the background I'm out of, where they'll sit there and say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And, you know, I understand what they're talking about from when they were saved, that they were called out of sin. But they're actually describing themselves as sinners saved by grace. And what we really are, we're really saved creatures. We're really holy creatures that from time to time, simply because of our own volition, our own way, decide to sin. But no, we're not holy people who are sinners who have to sin, and there's nothing we can do about it. And people say, oh, well, that's just a semantical term. Well, you're right. But there's some serious things that go behind that because people really feel like that they have no power over sin. I mean, true believers, they feel like they have no power over the sin, and that's not true. In verse 9, he tells us, okay, confess your sins. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord will cleanse us. He'll forgive us. Then we move on. What did Jesus say to the woman who was caught in adultery? You know, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. So we're going to see more and more about this. It's not that we are saved, but we're still sinners and there's nothing we can do about it. We are saved and we are empowered to abide in him. And if we abide in him, okay, if we walk in him, walk in the light, then we will not walk in the darkness. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you later.